said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is a follow-up from the first few verses of John chapter 14. Now, the chapter begins within a context of the upper room discourse. Jesus, in this immediate context, tells the disciples that he is going away to prepare a place for them. But he also says that he's coming back. So Thomas is the one who questions Jesus. And in answering the last question of Thomas, Jesus reveals the principle on which all must act if they expect to reach the Father's house. Of course, you're familiar with Matthew in chapter 6, verse 9, where in that Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught the disciples how to pray. He said, when you pray, pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So God, our Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is in heaven. You're also familiar with Mark in chapter 16 at verse 19, that at the very end of Mark's account of the life of Jesus Christ at verse 19, the Bible says, so then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken unto them, was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. So I take all of that to mean that God the Father is in heaven, that Jesus Christ is in heaven at his right hand. But not only does Jesus say that he is the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus helps us to understand that he is the only way, the only truth, and the only life, and that no one can come to the Father except or through or by him. So as at this point, I want to simply pause, and I want to address you, the congregation here at Pruitt and Lobet. Do we all agree with this, that we want to go to heaven, and that by going to heaven, we have made a decision that we are going to follow Jesus Christ? Now, that's a question. And if you would respond, I would like to simply hear you say amen, because that's what that means. I agree. So do we believe here at Pruitt and Lobet that Jesus Christ is the only way to eternal life, and that life is in his Father and in the Son, and that we want to go to heaven? Do we agree with this statement? Amen. And I do too. And it's upon that basis that we're going to begin our relationship here as we worship and work together. Having said that, I simply want to pause and I want to acknowledge my gratitude first and always to Almighty God, because it is before him I stand. He is the one who is the creator. He is the Almighty God. And he is the one who sent his Son to be the Savior of the world, as John in chapter 4, verse 14 says. And I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, who came and lived and offered himself as a perfect sacrifice. And as the Bible tells us, that in him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins through his blood, according to the riches of God's grace. And I'm grateful for the Holy Spirit, for the revelation of truth, that we might know God and that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. And I'm grateful for this good church here at Pruitt and Lobet, that over the years, a faithful congregation that has sounded forth the word of God, and I'm grateful now to be among you. And so I come with my beloved Bessie to worship and work together with you. I thank you, the elders, and your wives who support you in what you do. I thank the deacons, your wives, who support you in what you do. And I'm grateful for all of the families that make up this good congregation. And I'm grateful for all the visitors who come and you're a part of us. I'm grateful for those who are in our audience, whether it be by Zoom, especially those who are in this assembly. You are our honored guests. We're simply a people of God striving to do those things that please God. And here it is, the first Sunday in the first month of this brand new year. Now, the lesson I'm going to preach this morning is not new, because you know there is nothing new under the sun. What we're going to do is we're going to look in our Bibles at the conquest of Canaan. And so having said that, I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Joshua. That's where we're going to start out this morning. Now, I must simply say that, again, this sermon is not new. It's been preached many times, but I think it is appropriate as we begin our relationship together, because we're on a journey and we all want to go to heaven. And we've already established the fact that Jesus Christ is the way. I think the book of Joshua fits this because the book of Joshua simply tells us that victory comes only by faith in God and simple obedience to his word. I think all of us are familiar with Joshua himself, that when the 12 spies returned, as we read in the book of Numbers in chapter 13, and they reported on the land. Joshua, of course, Caleb was the other one, the two men who maintained faith in the Lord and encouraged the people towards their duty. And when the death of all of the men of war had been decreed at that time, Joshua and Caleb were accepted because of the reason specifically mentioned with Joshua, that Joshua had wholly followed the word of the Lord. And so later, when a successor was needed, the Lord called upon Joshua. And so that's where we're going to pick up in our Bibles, in the book of Joshua, in chapter 1. And we're going to work our way to chapter 3, where our text is going to be found. So I invite you to turn in your Bibles together, and I'm going to tell you, it is music to my ears when I hear Bible pages turning, because that's telling me that you're interested in the Word of God. So let's turn some pages together, if you will, the book of Joshua in chapter 1. The Bible says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. So first of all, what we find here is Joshua is being prepared by the Lord for the conquest of Canaan. And God says to him, look very carefully at verse 2. God says, you go over the Jordan. But there is something I also want us to see in verse 2. The Bible says God is giving them the land. We know that retention of the land was indeed conditional, but the fact that God had made promises long ago, the land was theirs because God gave it to them. Drop down to verse 5. The Bible says no one will be able to stand against you. Look at verse 7 and 8. The Bible says, if you follow the law, you follow the word that God has given you, you're going to have success. Now, I want to simply pause, folks, and I want you to know the same principle applies today. If we follow God's word, we are going to have success. Drop down to verse 11. Look at verse 11. It says, the people need to be ready. They need to prepare themselves. And God gives us instructions about how to prepare ourselves as we live in this brand new year, as we live our lives. I want you to look at verse 16, and let's read it together, folks. This is very important. The Bible says, so they answered Joshua, saying, all that you command us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. You know what this reminds me of? When Jehovah God appeared to Israel at Mount Sinai. Remember, there was this lightning and this thunder, and the people were afraid. And they said, Moses, you go up on the mountain, and whatever God says, that's what we'll do. Well, that's exactly what they said right here in chapter 1 at verse 16. What I want you to do now is look at chapter 2. Chapter 2 basically is sending out the spies to Jericho. So they spied out the city and they make a deal with Rahab. Look at verse 24. It just simply gives you the report when they come back. In Joshua chapter 2 at verse 24, and they said to Joshua, truly,
The Lord has delivered all the land into our hands, for indeed all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us. Now stop and think about that, folks. This is encouraging. And it's an encouraging picture. I believe not only for them, but I think this is an encouragement for us as well. Remember, God says, I'm giving you the land. Nobody's going to stand against you. You're going to have success if you simply follow my word. And so now for our main text in chapter 3. In chapter 3, first of all, I want you to look at chapter 3, verse 1. Because here is where we see that they are camped at the Jordan for 3 days before they cross. And why 3 days? I think it's significant because God wants them to be ready for the conquest of Canaan, which would take place in 3 stages, ironically. And so then Joshua rose early in the morning and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan. He and all the children of Israel and lodged there before they crossed over. Now, I want you to look at verse 2. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go. Here it is, for you have not passed this way before. Well, here we are. They are at the foot of the Jordan. God has prepared them for the conquest of Canaan. And this is our text. We're going to look at 2 points, and we're going to make some applications along the way. Because what I want us to understand, as we begin this new year, as we begin this new work together, there are challenges before us all in this new year. Some of it comes from the previous year. Yes, Corona-19 is still with us. And some have suffered in the past as a result of that. But there are new challenges before us. There are challenges for the elders. There are challenges for the deacons. There are obviously challenges for your new preacher. Whether you want to call me the young preacher or the old preacher, really doesn't matter. But we get in a new relationship here. I know Jesse Flowers has been here for 13 years. And I know the affinity that people have towards preachers. And I would hope that that same affinity would apply to all of the members. I hope every last one of us would love Jesse and all of the Flowers just like you love each other. And I know just like we will grow to love one another here at this place. And I know many of you miss him already. I spoke to Jesse on yesterday, and Jesse sends greetings to all the saints here at Pruitt and Lobet. And I know how that works. And I know it's going to be a challenge for me as a new preacher. Because some of you are going to look at me as a new preacher and say, well, Jesse didn't preach like that. Or Jesse didn't say that. I can tell you the same thing, that the same things that Jesse taught are the same things that I am going to teach, because we are going to be using the same word. So there are challenges for us. There are health challenges. Everywhere you go, there are people who are on prayer lists. Some who have more concerns than others. And how Corona has affected us in so many ways, not only physically, financially, emotionally, and yes, even spiritually. And so much so, we have so many challenges, just like they did when they were preparing to cross over the Jordan. And so 2 points I want to make. Because number one, notice what the record says in verse 4. You have not passed this way before. They had never crossed the Jordan before. They had never taken walled cities before. They had never battled giants with chariots of iron. They are facing new challenges. They are facing new difficulties. And as it was with Israel, folks, we have not passed this way before. And so we also are going to face some uncertain challenges, but we have divine instructions from the Lord. Those are our 2 points. And so, first of all, the uncertain challenges that we face. Because sometimes we may begin a new year and things may look a bit difficult because of untrodden paths. It may be a bit intimidating, perhaps from my perspective or even your perspective, in trying to fill, so to speak, the shoes of someone who has departed. But I want you to look at our text in chapter 3. Go to verse 8, if you will. First of all, I want you to know about crossing the Jordan. You shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. Look at verse 15, folks. The Jordan is overflowing at this time of harvest. They have not crossed the river in this fashion before. None of the present generation, except Joshua and Caleb, have passed through waters like this. Oh, you go back to the Red Sea. Joshua and Caleb, they were there, but not like this at the Jordan. It very well could be that you're standing on the shore of your Jordan today, and the waters are heaped up against you. And there may be some concerns about that. You may be challenged by that. But we need to recognize, folks, that we are facing this challenge together. I want you to look at verse 10. Look at verse 10 of chapter 3. The Bible says, and Joshua says, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. He's talking about the mighty people. They're giants, folks. Not only are they giants, but they are giants with chariots of iron. And I want you to notice our pivotal verse, verse 4. You have not passed this way before. And so we may be facing giants today. They could be giant financial problems. Maybe you are one who's been a victim of unemployment. You might be one who have been a victim maybe of physical illnesses. Maybe you've contacted coronavirus. Maybe a loved one of yours. Maybe you've even lost a loved one. Maybe an employer. Maybe a coworker. I'm talking about giants that we face. Maybe haven't faced in 2020, but now 2021 is upon us, and there are giants in the land. And so yet there are challenges among us. But I want you to notice something else, folks. Trust in God. Look at verse 13. Chapter 3, verse 13. And it shall come to pass that as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off. The waters that come down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap. Think about that, folks. There's a wall of water on the right side. Because verse 16 says that wall of water stood still. And as those who bore the ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zaratan. So the waters that went down into the sea of the Arabah, the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. And so they've never crossed the Jordan in this fashion before. None of the present generation, except Joshua and Caleb, they passed through the Red Sea. Now I want you to think about this. The waters, they are deep and they're swift. And how on earth are they going to get across? But it very well could be that you are standing on the shore of your Jordan today. And you know, oftentimes in the new year, there are doubts that arise. Many times people make New Year's resolution. Can I keep these resolutions that I've made? Maybe it's something that you've been struggling with. Maybe it's a habit. Maybe it is some sin that you have not been able to overcome. But you're standing right on the shore of the Jordan. And let me tell you what, folks, trust in God. It takes a lot to trust God. It's easy to say that I believe in God, but there's something else to trust God. Can I tell you something, folks? One of the most difficult choices that you make in your life is whether you're going to make the decision to follow God, whether you're going to become a Christian. But I'm going to tell you what is the second most important decision is whether you're going to act like a child of God and believe what God says and trust him at his word and walk by faith and not by sight. Well, look at verse 17. And then the priest who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry land or ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. Abundant blessings. And here again, this is the theme of all the book. You see, because success comes when hearing God's word, we believe what God says, we simply follow what God says, and we're going to have success. Not so much in military might or in numerical numbers, but in trusting in the living God. Now, I want you to go back and I want you to look at what Moses had said. Look back in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 6. Look at Deuteronomy in chapter 6. Deuteronomy in chapter 6. Now, I want you to look at verse 10. There's a lot in this chapter that we could find because these are the final days of Moses before his death. He reveals the history of Israel's trek all through the wilderness, and he reminded them that God had given them a law which they were to obey. And he stresses here the importance of not only knowing God, but teaching them to their children. Deuteronomy 6, look at verse 10. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, when you have eaten and are full, mark this down, folks, highlight it, remember this, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You know, it's not only difficulties that sometimes are temptation for us, that our faith may fail. But I'm going to tell you what, folks, sometimes prosperity is. We're living in a generation where we have so much. So many of us have far more than perhaps our ancestors had. And sometimes that ironically, like we have on our currency, in God we trust, it is in mammon that we trust rather than in the living God. So here's the point. Uncertain challenges, blessings can be a challenge for us in 2021. We've got more. And sometimes we tend to forget God. But the second point, I want you to look at the divine instruction. Go back to chapter 3 and look at verse 3. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priest, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. You know, even though we face challenges in whatever year or whatever time we live in, God has always given us instructions. This lesson could be preached at the beginning of a new year, the beginning of a month. It could be preached when you're starting a new job. It could be preached when you move to a new place. It could be preached whenever you are facing challenges, because we have not passed this way before. So when you see the ark move, what's the instruction? You follow it. Look at verse 4. The record says, and yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. Stay back from the ark. Why does God say stay back from the ark? He even tells us. He doesn't always tell us why, but he says this is the reason why you stay back. Because he wants you to know the way to go. Because God's going to lead you, and because God's going to guide you. And that's what verse 4 is talking about. It's talking about respect for the divine. I think you know as well as I do what the Ark of the Covenant was, what it represented, the very presence of God, whether you're talking about in the tabernacle or whether you're talking about in the temple, because God appeared to them in the physical manifestation of the mercy seat, where the high priest would go in, remember, into the very presence of God. But as was adequately said at the table, and as was adequately mentioned already, even in our prayer by Brother Artie, that Jesus Christ is the one who made the way for us to have access to God. And what this calls upon us, folks, is respect for the divine. And I'm going to tell you what, this is a lesson that we need. Because the Bible is full of admonition for you and I as far as respect for the Almighty. The scriptures declare that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Proverbs chapter 10, at verse 10. And so let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Psalm 33 at verse 8. The Apostle Peter wrote in the New Testament, and if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your sojourning, throughout the time of your sojourning while we live here on this earth, wherever, whenever it is, here in fear. And I think all of us understand what man's whole duty is. Fear God and keep his commandments. And if the Lord wills, you will hear me mention that often. Not only is this our highest responsibility, but it calls upon us for respect for the divine. So God gives us instructions. And so there's no physical representation of God, but we do have God's word. We need to respect it. We need to respect what it says. We understand how God speaks to us. Not like he did in the patriarchal dispensation when he spoke directly to the fathers. And God doesn't speak to us like he did through Moses, the lawgiver, John 1, 17. Where God called Moses on Mount Sinai. Yes, he gave him the Ten Commandment law. And the Ten Commandment law was the base of all the laws God gave Israel. There were over 600 laws, statutes, commandments, and ordinances where God regulated the conduct of his people. But God had given us his word, and God speaks to us today through his son, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. And so we need to have respect for the word of God. And Lord willing, we'll start our lesson. How appropriately, I think. As we begin our relationship, we'll start the book of Acts in chapter 1 tonight with an introduction, Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. As Brother Mickey said, there are some handouts here, and I'll explain those and some questions that go along. We're going to look at how the fulfillment of what God had in his mind before the foundation of the world, and that's the reason why we do what we do today. That's the reason why we're in this assembly. God gives us commands. God gives us examples. God gives us enough information so we can make the right choices to do what God wants us to do. Respect for the divine. And then step in the water. Look at verse 13 again. And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off. The waters that come down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap. Now, you know, it's a challenge. And we were baptized in the Moses, in the cloud, in the sea, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In other words, they were immersed in water. There was water all around them. And they walked through on dry ground. But here at the Jordan, you have not passed this way before. And there's a wall of water on the right side because God stopped the waters. And I know it's the miraculous, but God doesn't do that today because God has given us enough information in his word to know his will. But there was water on the right side. And God says, when the priests step in the water, then you follow them. They got the ark. You respect the divine because God's leading you. And then you put your foot in the Jordan. Are they going to trust God to do that? Are they going to trust God enough to know that the water's going to stand like God said it was going to stand? You see, folks, these are the challenges that face you and I. Because you have not crossed, you have not passed this way before. And so here are our simple applications. I think that God helps us to understand how we can have success, not only in 2021, folks, but I believe for the rest of our lives. I want us to remember where we begin our series of lessons. I want us to begin all the way back in John chapter 14. Remember, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you might be also. And the way you know, and Thomas asked the question, we don't know the way, Lord. Where are you going? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except or by or through me. So here it is, folks. First of all, the way is new to you, but not to your God. You see, you've not been this way before, but God's people have. God's been this way before. You see, crossing the Red Sea, conquering enemies. God's done that before. Remember what 1 Peter 5, verse 7 says. It ought to be a memory verse. And if you get anything from this lesson, I want you to mark that down as one of the lessons. If you're taking notes, mark this down. 1 Peter 5, 7. Coronavirus, financial, I don't care what it is. 1 Peter 5, 7, cast your care upon the Lord, for he careth for you. Make it personal. Put your name there. The Lord cares for you, young or old. The Lord cares for you. And I'm going to tell you something. The Lord cares for me. And of all the blessings that I have, I count that as precious. The Lord cares for me. The way is new to you, but not to God's people. See, you've not been this way before, but God's people have. Israel, before they crossed the Red Sea, we're not the first to come to this point. We're not the first to face challenges like this. Whatever your uncertain challenges, God's people have faced them before. A lot of people don't like reading the Old Testament, but it's full of them. And even reading the New Testament is full of them. Challenges that the people of God have faced. And why do you think God left all this for us? Think about this. Think about this. If Jesus came, and he did, lived the perfect life, incarnate, God become man, lived the perfect life, which qualified him to be the perfect sacrifice, go to Calvary, die on Calvary's cross, raised from the dead without any contradiction. People know this was the same one that was crucified. All the evidence could not be denied. And God didn't leave us a record of that. How could we take advantage of the mercy and the grace of God? But you see, God thought about all of that ahead of time. He left us a book so we could know even before the world began what God was going to do. And we're going to start reading about that, the book of Acts in chapter 1 this evening. And I tell you what, the book of Acts is so exciting because it puts all the Bible together for us. And so God's people have. And then number three, the way is new to you. And God is and has always been faithful. Let me tell you something, folks. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. This is what Peter said to Christians who were going through what he called a fiery trial. This is his second epistle. He said, according as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How does it come, Peter? It comes through the knowledge of him that has called us by glory and virtue, whereby are given to us great and exceeding precious promises, that by these we become partakers of his divine nature, and we can escape the corruption that is in this world through lust. Now, there's a lot in those two verses. But let me tell you what it all means, folks. We're heaven bound. It means God wants us to be where he is. And you've already acknowledged as we begin, you want to go to heaven. And God wants us to go to heaven. And that's why God did what he did. Because he loved us so much. And if you're here this morning and you're not a child of God and you have not passed this way before, you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, you've never understood how plain and simple it is to simply say, I believe Jesus, because the Bible tells us it's necessary to believe Jesus. In the book of John, chapter 8, verse 24, Jesus says, except you believe that I am, you'll die in your sins. Faith is necessary because without it, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11, 6. But when you say you believe God, it's not going to stop there. You know what you're going to do? You're going to act on that. It's called repentance. It means to change. In Luke 13, 3, Jesus says, except you repent, you'll perish. Acts 17, 30, the Bible says it is commanded of all men everywhere to repent. Think about it, folks. If God is holy, and he is, if we expect to have a relationship with the holy God, because all have sinned and fallen short of God, if we expect to have a relationship with God, we have to do something in order to be joined to the holy. God gives us the means whereby divine instructions to change. But not just to change to follow Jesus a certain way. And so we make the decision that we're going to confess. It simply means I agree. I agree with Jesus. I agree with God the Father. I agree with what he said. I agree with what he wants me to do. I understand he's the way I'm to follow. And then I'm going to be baptized because baptism is for the remission of sins. And when I'm baptized, this is the way I go. And I follow Jesus for the rest of my life so I can be where the Father is and where his Son is and where the host of the redeemed will be when time is over. The title of the invitation song is, Who at My Door is Standing? It is a question. I want you to know where you can find the answer. I want you to look in your Bibles in the book of John, chapter 6, verse 37. There is where you find the answer.
very simply. Jesus says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And we're simply asking you this morning, in this first day of the week, January the 3rd, 2021, if you haven't come to Jesus, you've not been this way before, then Jesus said, if you come to me, I will not cast you out. And for all the saints, oh, my brethren, I know we're in a new year. There are new challenges that face us. We've avowed the fact that we all want to go to heaven. So let's make it our New Year's resolution if you want to. We're going to follow Jesus. We're going to keep following Jesus. And we're going to follow Jesus until he comes back, until he calls us from this place. And if you need to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ, would you come while together we stand and sing?